Shri Shri Guru and Garanga glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Buddhaya Shri Madhya Bhakti Vananda Swami Shri Madhya Namaste Sai Sai Devi Gaur Madhya Shri Madhya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, Text 26. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhuta Bhavanaha Sva Shaktya Mayaya Yukta Srijati Ati Cha Pati Cha. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutubhavanaha Svashaktya Mayaya Yukta Srijatyati Chapati Cha. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutabhavanaha Svashaktya Mayaya Yukta Srijatati Chapati Cha. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutabhavanaha Svashaktya Mayaya Yukta Srijatati Chapati Cha. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutabhavanaha Svashaktya Mayaya Yukta Srijatati Chapati Cha. Bhutatma Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutabhavana Svagyamaya Yuga Namyate Chapaticha. Bhutani Bhutatma Bhutesho Bhutabhavana Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Esha Bhutabhavana Adhyamaya Yukta Esha Bhutatma. Vaishnavis, Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Esha Bhutabhavana Svashakya Maya Yukta Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Vishamutabhava Vashakya Maya Yukta Adija Bhutani Bhutasma Yamaya Mukta Esha Bhutani Bhutasma Esha Bhutabhavana Isha Bhutani Bhutatma Isha Bhutabhavana Yamaya Yukta All of a sudden, I have this strange desire to eat a chapati. I wonder why that is. Esha, this, Bhutani, all created beings, Bhuta Atma, the super soul of all living entities. Bhuta Ishaha, the controller of everyone. Bhuta Bhavanaha, the maintainer of everyone. Svashaktya, through his energy. Mayaya, the external energy. Yuktaha, through such agency. Srijati, creates. Atti, annihilates. Cha, and. Pati, maintains. Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supersoul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone through the agency of his external energy. He creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Purport. There are two kinds of energies in the matter of creation. The Lord creates this material world through his external material energy, whereas the spiritual world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is always associated with the internal energy, but he is always aloof from the material energy. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 4, the Lord says, Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshavastita. All living entities are living on me or on my energy, but I am not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world. In the material world also, wherever the Lord is personally present is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. The temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada says the temple is like the spiritual world. It is said that different living places or different residences can be categorized according to, you know, the modes of nature. For example, there's the tamaguna, the mode of ignorance. So residence in the mode of ignorance means places where gross sinful activities are going on. Srila Prabhupada mentions the words taverns, brothels. Places where sinful activities are going on are residences in the mode of ignorance, tamaguna. Then there's the rajaguna, the mode of nature of passion, you know, the passionate mode of nature. So residences in the mode of passion are residences in cities and villages, you know, opulent, you know, apartments, buildings, things like that. Palaces even. You know, sometimes we see great palaces or great hotels and things like that. And then there's residence in the sattva guna, residence in the mode of goodness, and that's the forest, the countryside, you know, places where one can live very naturally. But even so, that's still within the modes of material nature. It's the sattva guna. But beyond the modes of nature is the condition called nirguna. And residence in that mode is, you know, the temple, you know, spiritual community. You know, it's beyond, you know, the modes of nature. It's just like, you know, Vaikuntha or the spiritual world. Yeah, so we all have, you know, our, you know, experience of these different kinds of residences, you know, perhaps, you know, before we became devotees. We experimented with, you know, these different kinds of residences. You know, perhaps sometimes we found ourselves in tamaguna types of residences, places where you know, sinful, you know, activities were going on. You know, I know that at times I found myself in such places, and other times, you know, we may have been existing in rajaguna kinds of residences. You know, maybe a nice house in the suburbs, or living in a nice opulent dormitory at some university or something like that. And at times we may have tried to search out some peace and quiet in the countryside, you know, go out camping somewhere, go to Hawaii, live on the beach or something. Yeah, that tendency is there. You know, I know that I tried all of those things. But they're never satisfying, ultimately, to the soul. You know, we can try out all these different residential places, and they're still within the modes of material nature, and still, and that means they are still contaminated by different kinds of miseries. You know, they're the adi-daivic miseries, the adi-bhautic miseries, the adi-atmic miseries. In other words, they're the miseries that come from one's own mind and body, the miseries that come from other living entities, including other human beings. The French existentialist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre once said that hell is other people. because, you know, people can cause each other misery. And then there are the adi daivic miseries, you know, the miseries that come from the various forces of nature, you know, like, you know, for example, the city of New Orleans experienced this in a big way. And in a couple of months, another hurricane season is coming. You know, so who knows what's going to happen? And that's the nature of these adi-daivic miseries. We don't know, you know, when they're going to come, when they're going to strike, but they're there. You know, it's part of living in the material world. So these residences and the different modes of material nature, they don't satisfy. And therefore, the temple is a different kind of residence. I think we all have our memories of the first time, you know, we came into, you know, a temple. You know, I certainly remember. Not even a temple, but just maybe the home of a devotee, the apartment of a devotee, some preaching center somewhere, maybe where there's some little deities installed, maybe not a big opulent temple like Los Angeles, or maybe it was your first experience. But it I can recall it being just like entering into another world, a whole different realm of reality. It would be very, I remember I was visiting some little preaching center in Albany, New York. You know, some devotee couple was there. They had an apartment near a university. And I would, you know, drive from a nearby city there, you know, to attend their Sunday feast. And I remember, like, each time I would walk out, you know, back out into the night, you know, the city lights, and it would just be like entering, you know, back into the material world. You know, the brightness and the illumination and the whole atmosphere of even that little, you know, temple apartment, you know, was something quite different from anything I'd ever experienced, you know, outside of that. So when we come into the temple, and you know, our first instinct is to want to take shelter of it and not go anywhere else. You know, like to stay, you know, in that, you know, transcendental environment. But then, gradually, as we become, you know, accustomed to Krishna consciousness, we learn that it's possible to leave the temple on a mission for Krishna and still be in the spiritual world. Because anywhere where the glorification of Krishna is going on, that also becomes, you know, the spiritual world. Narayana parasarve na kutashtana bibhute svargapavarga narakesh apitulyarta darshanam. So the devotees of the Lord, they are the Narayana parayanas. They are dependent on Lord Narayan. They're serving Lord Narayan, serving Krishna everywhere they go. So wherever service of Krishna is going on, that is also the spiritual world. So therefore, it's possible for devotees to leave the temple and go out into different places and still be in the spiritual world, just like being in the temple. Of course, if we're not in a place like the temple where there are deities and, you know, prescribed activities of devotional service going on, then it can be a bit of a trial. It can start to wear one down. And therefore, we require the temple as like a base. Or if not the temple, then one's own home temple or something. But in this world, we require a kind of a spiritual base where we can immerse ourselves more or less fully, you know, in Krishna consciousness, so that, you know, when we do venture out into other locations, we can maintain the proper perspective, you know, the proper service attitude, and not become, you know, influenced by the modes of nature. Of course, that's not easy because the modes of nature are very powerful. But if one is properly situated, then one can be Krishna conscious, even outside, the temple environment if one is performing service, authorized service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know that my particular service takes me into all kinds of residences. sometimes, I think I mentioned last time I gave class, I spoke at a conference that was held at a casino in Nevada. So that's definitely, a residence in the mode of ignorance. But, and then this last speaking engagement I went on, I spoke at a conference in Baltimore and the organizers put me in some, penthouse suite in a hotel in Baltimore. So, more of a residence in the mode of, passion. And then, last year I spoke at some yoga society in Canada and they put me in a nice little cabin in the forest, more of a mode of goodness. But my favorite residence is my little room in the L.A. temple. That's where I really like to be, if I have a choice. However, sometimes, as I said, service does carry one, outside the temple environment to different places. I mean, devotees go to all kinds of places to preach. And, sometimes they may have to... Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to, the United States, he had to live, with people who had meat and fish and eggs in their refrigerators, who were either using drugs or taking different kinds of intoxicants sometimes. Definitely like residences in the mode of ignorance, really. But for the purpose of preaching, he did that. And then sometimes he would find himself being put in more opulent residences, different palaces in India or, big hotels sometimes in different places. Or, he might find himself out in the countryside. But wherever a devotee goes, if a devotee is in the proper, consciousness, it's just like, being in the spiritual world. But in particular, Srila Prabhupada said in many places, in London and Melbourne and Los Angeles, about the temples, that the temples are Vaikuntha. They are the spiritual world. But not necessarily so for any particular individual. It depends on, one's consciousness. There were a few things I copied down here from some of Srila Prabhupada's statements. Because one has to be serving, Krishna, properly in order to experience the real Vaikuntha or Goloka mood of a temple. Again, in Melbourne, June 25th, 1974, Srila Prabhupada said, our problem is how to serve Krishna honestly. How I am being engaged by Krishna. that is the point. We have to serve Krishna with the motive to please Krishna, not to please ourselves. I mean, sometimes we find ourselves at least externally engaged in devotional service. I know I do this. And I experience some kind of dissatisfaction or unhappiness or something. And every time I analyze it a little bit deeply, I can understand, the source of the unhappiness is, although I'm engaged in devotional service, I'm doing it for some selfish motive. It's not really to please Krishna or please Krishna's devotees. I'm expecting, something, for myself in some way, and I think at least that's what I conclude myself is that's the source of the unhappiness or the frustration or the dissatisfaction. So it's not just enough to be in the temple and just, you know, being externally engaged in service. One has to have the proper devotional mood. As Srila Prabhupada said, our problem is how to serve Krishna honestly. So serving Krishna honestly means serving Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna, for the satisfaction of Krishna and Krishna's representatives, and not simply for our own satisfaction. But the mystery of devotional service is that if we do that, then we experience satisfaction. We experience more satisfaction than if we were to just strive 100%, you know, for our own satisfaction. That's the mystery of devotional service. If we try to please Krishna, then automatically we become pleased. And without doing that, we can never become satisfied. In Los Angeles on October 2, 1972, Srila Prabhupada was giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class right in this temple. He said, this temple is spiritual, Vaikuntha. It is not Los Angeles. Don't think like that. It is Vaikuntha, because every second remembrance of Krishna is here. Therefore, it is not Los Angeles. But the point is, one has to always be remembering Krishna. Otherwise, it does become Los Angeles. So it's not enough simply that one is in the temple. I mean, the temple is Vaikuntha, but it's not enough just to place oneself physically here. One has to be in the proper consciousness in order to receive, you know, the full benefit. It's like Srila Prabhupada gave the example. He said the bug and the spiritual master may be sitting on the same vyasasan, but there's a difference in consciousness there. You know, so there may be, sometimes we see a cockroach here in the temple, and the cockroach gets a little, I mean, we don't see very many of them, fortunately, but occasionally there's one or two. It's also in the temple until somebody picks it up and puts it out the door, but it's not getting necessarily the same benefit as a devotee who's conscious of Krishna and consciously engaging in service to Krishna. Or sometimes even the little non-human entities that are in the temple, they also get some, you know, agyata sukriti, some kind of benefit. But for the full benefit, you know, we have to be conscious of what we're doing. And then another time in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada said, if you live, this is another Bhagavatam class here in Los Angeles. He said, if you live in the temple, you are in Vaikuntha, above goodness. So all of you should be very careful that you may not fall down again from Vaikuntha, because sometimes we see that happens. People come to the temple and sometimes they leave the temple. And he went on to say in that same class, and this is another point, the authorities of the temple should be careful that it does not turn into something else besides temple. So yes, if it is a temple, then it is Vaikuntha. But if the people who are residing in the temple and the temple community turn it into something else, then it's no longer a temple. It's no longer Vaikuntha. It becomes, like Srila Prabhupada once said, yeah, it becomes like joint mess. You know, that just a bunch of people living together to save money or whatever. And then it becomes no longer a temple. So for it to remain Vaikuntha, a certain standard, you know, has to be maintained. Because otherwise, if a standard is not maintained, then it becomes something less than a temple. Then it's no longer, you know, Vaikuntha. Although, you know, externally, you know, the label on the door may be temple, but it has to be really a temple, which means, you know, a certain standard has to be maintained. The sadhana, principles have to be maintained, the temple programs have to be maintained, the worship has to be maintained, the preaching activities have to be maintained. And then it's a temple, and then it is Vaikuntha. Or at least the potential for a devotee to experience it as Vaikuntha is there, but that's up to each individual devotee. You know, to the extent that a devotee is remembering Krishna and serving Krishna, then it is Vaikuntha. To the extent that a devotee isn't remembering Krishna, isn't serving Krishna properly, then it's not Vaikuntha. And in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was once there, and he was warning the devotees not to think that, you know, just because you become a Vaishnava, become a devotee, then you're kind of, you've transcended all kinds of worldly responsibilities. You know, he said in the temple, it's like you have to maintain it. You know, you can't, you know, just pretend, yes, now I'm a Vaishnava, now I don't have to worry about the accounts, I don't have to worry about the management, things like that. He says not that you can just say, oh, I've become Vaishnava, and then things get stolen, broken, run down, and yes, because we're transcendental Vaishnavas, we don't have to worry about it. We actually do have to worry about it, how things are being maintained, how things are going on. So if we do all these things, if we make sure the temple does remain a temple, if each individual devotee does maintain a proper level of Krishna consciousness, then it is Vaikuntha. It is the spiritual world. It's not Los Angeles, it's not Rome, it's not London, it's not Melbourne. It is the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Bhrigupati. I think it's the spiritual world. yeah, there's, yeah, you know, the deity worship is going on, you know, very nicely here. There is nice management. Things aren't becoming all, you know, broken and run down and things like that. There is, you know, preaching, going on. So it seems like, you know, the opportunity is there for devotees who come here to experience, you know, the temple as Vaikuntha. There is a genuine temple here that can be experienced as the spiritual world. But as I was saying, that's up to us, each individually, you know, how we're going to take advantage of that. you know, whether it's up to each of us to determine to what extent we're going to experience it as, you know, the spiritual world. You know, that depends on us to a large degree. I think the opportunity is there. I think there is, you know, a bona fide temple here, a bona fide temple that can be experienced as Vaikuntha in the sense that Srila Prabhupada indicated. But each of us has to decide to what degree we're going to take advantage of that opportunity. Yes, Archita.
I don't recall hearing Prabhupada say this directly, but it was one of the things that was drilled into us when we joined in Henry Street in 73, that one very good indicator of the spiritual atmosphere in an ISKCON temple is how well Tulsi is maintained.
Beautiful Tulsi Davies here. Okay, Swavas.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I heard a lecture one time in reference to what you're saying about consciousness, and Prabhupada said that he says, here I am sitting on the Vyasasan, and there can be a bug next to me sitting on the Vyasasan. And Prabhupada said that we're both sitting on the same seat, but he said the difference is that the bug is thinking he's a bug, but I'm a spiritual master. Mm-hmm. I'm a devotee of Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada said, that is the difference. It's a matter of consciousness. So we can, as you're saying very nicely, we can be in the temple, but if we don't have the consciousness of wanting to serve, if we don't have the consciousness of wanting to surrender and push forward, then, as you're saying very, very nicely, we are not in Vaikuntha. We're simply on a mental platform, or we're in a bodily platform of life.
Dwarkarani.
Thank you, Prabhu. I don't know if this relates, but I know for myself, when if I'm someplace too long, I start to take it for granted, and I start to, you know, not feel. I could just be anywhere, and I feel it's all the same. But what I really notice is, I also teach at a yoga school, and the people there can't wait to get here. I said, mm-hmm. Can we just get there? Because then they'll feel peaceful, even if they just go to the restaurant. And they always ask, what is it? What is it? How come it feels so different? And then I realize, oh, yeah, you know, this is Krishna. This is what it is, you know. And they feel it. And, you know, even if they're just getting a Bhima burger or something, they have like a real big spiritual experience. And it kind of wakes me back up to, you know, unfortunately, that's my condition. But people coming from outside, they, you know, are up in the store or something. They're always having these, like, amazing revelations or experiences. So there's, you know, whether or not we don't even realize what's going on, it's visible to other people even that are coming that may have no consciousness about it at all. And people travel very far. I mean, I know people that live downtown. And we'll come here every day for lunch. And I met a guy in the restaurant the other day, and he said at work they offered him an opportunity to go to lunch at this really expensive restaurant in the Grove, which is a very fancy place. And he said, no, I just want to go to Govinda's. So something's going on.
Yeah, so I think it's a very good point that sometimes familiarity can breed, you know, contempt, and that we, you know, we start to lose, you know, that initial perception that we have, you know, how wonderful and different, you know, a Krishna conscious temple and temple community can be. So sometimes perhaps it is good to be, I mean, away for a little while, you know, at least, you know, preaching. I mean, not just to go out into the material energy, but, you know, sometimes if we, you know, yeah, put ourselves in a situation where, you know, we have to leave the temple community, then we can appreciate it more when we're here. Lots. Okay. Okay, we'll finish these three devotees. Shukadev. And then... then you, and then Bhakta Joe, and we'll stop.
The residents of New Dwarka love Rukmini and Dwarkadish very much. And you can see this when we have festivals. And just recently I was in Miami, and they have very nice Radha Krishna deities there, Radha Braja Bihari. But I was thinking, I really hope I'm not offensive, but boy, my heart is really given to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Jai.
So even though I was in another temple, your heart, when you leave New Dwarka, you can see that your heart is actually given to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Yes,
and also when we have festivals, and people are, the devotees are allowed to bathe the deities, everyone takes great relish once a year when we can bathe Lord Jagannath. So the residents have great love for Rukmini Dwarkadish, and especially if you leave, you can actually see how much love the devotees have for Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Yes. Sometimes Rukmini Dwarkadish send their servants away for a little while, then they drag them back. Bhakta Joe, you had something?
So when we perform our devotional service in the consciousness of a servant to experience this Vaikuntha atmosphere. For guests that come their first time, they don't have realization of a need to do that. What are the factors that are important to give the guests an experience of Vaikuntha, even though they don't have the deeper knowledge? How can we give them that feeling of Vaikuntha here when they come?
Somehow they have to be captured in Lord Chaitanya's loving network. And I suppose maybe we're all guilty of not paying enough attention to guests. But I sort of recall about the early days in devotional service in the temples that devotees were, when I first visited temples, devotees were just kind of very eager to sort of engage you in some kind of service, even when you first walked in the door, could you please sweep this or something? I think it was sort of drilled into the devotees that if you engage people in some service, it's very beneficial for them somehow if you give them something. And people, usually they want to participate, they somehow or other, they want to, they just feel honored, that they're being asked to do something. And I know there's some devotees I know who are, I see, that are very expert in doing that. They've got all kinds of people from outside engaged in little services and things like that. So, for example, I live up where Sura lives. I know he's got lots of people who just come to the temple that he just engages in all kinds of little services, and I think it gives them some attachment, that can be developed. So that's one thing. I'm sure others might have other ideas, how to do that. Okay, you had your hand up. I think that's the last one. That's all we have time for today.
So regarding the point that this is spiritual war, I completely agree. And I can find myself that there is no other temple for me except this one. But my question is that how come sometimes we see that we have so many problems among ourselves on different kinds? If this is spiritual war, we're supposed to be loving each other in different ways and create the atmosphere actually spiritual. So how come we have problems?
Well, one thing Srila Prabhupada once said when devotees asked him a question like that was, there's no utopia. He said, not even in the spiritual world is there a utopia in the sense that there's no disagreement. So the gopis, they're disagreeing how to serve Krishna. They're competing. They're, I think we have to be careful what our idea of the spiritual world is. If we think it's just totally peaceful, there's no disagreement, there's no competition, there's no tears, there's no anger, there's no... Because all these emotions are there in the spiritual world, and they have their place. So I think it comes down to a point I was making in the talk, kind of quoting Srila Prabhupada. We have to serve Krishna honestly. And when I look, when I look deeply at myself and I feel some dissatisfaction or I'm unhappy with dealings or this or that or the other, it appears to me when I analyze myself that I've put my own happiness and satisfaction first, rather than, the satisfaction of guru, the satisfaction of Krishna, the satisfaction of devotees. Because if I was thinking, how am I going to please, the other devotees? How am I going to please my spiritual master? How am I going to please, Krishna? I'm in a different mode. Then whatever problems there are, they're different. I can deal with them. I feel still enlivened, enthused, and not unhappy or disappointed. So that's my analysis. But still, there's a responsibility of the temple authorities to keep a certain standard. We each have our own responsibility to behave towards other devotees in a Vaishnav fashion. We should all be trying to do that. We should be merciful to those who are less advanced. We should make friends with those who are on a similar level of advancement. We should try to serve those who are more advanced. So it's a big question. But the real solution is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, and then everything will be fine. And then sometimes, Srila Prabhupada said it's like the temple's like a boat or something, and the boat is, although it's a boat and we have shelter in it, you know, the boat is on the ocean of the Kali Yuga, and there's lots of waves. So sometimes, you know, even though we're in the boat, you know, there may still be some waves. But that doesn't mean we should jump off the boat, you know, back into the ocean with all the sharks. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, if we think there's some problems, still we shouldn't leave. We should try to fix it. We should try to do that. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai.